Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today. And we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. Well, over the last few weeks, man, we've been talking about legacy, this kind of idea or this concept of legacy, right? About walking, not just receiving a legacy, but really walking in the legacies, man, that have come before us, that people have left for us. The first week I shared about my grandmother, and she was a pastor in Boston, Massachusetts. She was really one of the first women pastors in Boston. And she has, like, she's one of those people, you know, you kind of leave large shoes for people to walk in. She was one of the people, man. She left some pretty large shoes for other people to try to fill, right? But, man, what she left was this legacy in my life and in so many lives of different pastors and people that she came in contact with on a daily basis that really changed their lives. She did something. She built something in her life that carried on beyond her existence, that carried on beyond her life. It's something that reached to just a lot of people, and to her kids, to her grandkids, to neighbors and friends and all those people. And so what we've been talking about over the last few weeks is that really these legacies that we have are something, a legacy is something that we should be desiring to leave ourselves. That it's not, it shouldn't be just, oh, that was great for somebody else before me, but really in my life, I should be doing stuff in my life that sets up somebody else. That sets up my kids, that sets up my family, my extended family, that sets up my friends. There should be something about my life that leaves something there. It's like my daughter this morning was eating a donut. Right, eating a donut with the chocolate frosting on top, right? This is a little added bonus. It's not even a message. I'm adding this for free, right? She had a little donut with some chocolate frosting on top, and right, and so she's eating this donut, and she decides to take her hand, right, and do this on her white dress, right? I'm like, don't do that. You're going to leave a mark. You're going to leave something that's on your dress that man, You that probably shouldn't be there. It's gonna leave an impression. People are gonna know that you had chocolate donuts with the little rainbow sprinkles on top this morning. And so I was like, man, don't be careful. Don't do that. It kind of freaked out. It's like, oh, daddy, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's okay. Just it's chocolate and white dresses. They don't go together. But what I was trying to warn her is that, man, the things that you do leave an impression. They leave a mark. And we should desire that in a certain way in our lives, that the things that we do, man, they're going to leave something. That's really what a legacy is, right? A legacy is something that's handed down. It's something that's left from something before, right? From a predecessor, somebody that comes before us, and we're saying that, okay, this is something that we should desire. And what do people normally hand down? Stuff like money, property, a skill, a trade. It could be a way of thinking, a way of believing. But it's something, even a way of living, but it's something that we should be desiring to leave. If you look at any wealth, and I said this the first week, look at any wealth that was ever gained in this country, any wealth that came, for the most part, outside of the lady that won the Powerball a week ago, outside of that, most wealth has been handed down. The majority, probably 90 to 95% of the wealth that's in this country has been handed down from generation to generation, except for later when the Powerball, I wish she went to church and tithe, but hallelujah anyway. But man, there's a legacy there, and I've been saying that the greatest legacy that we could leave, the greatest thing that we could hand down, that we could leave for those that will come after us is our faith. It's the best and the greatest thing that we could ever try to leave or ever try to set up for something that's going to come after us is our faith. And we know this. You kind of learn this definition, Hebrews 11:1, and you kind of might know this too. It says, now faith is the substance, right, of things hoped for. This I love the NIV says it's the confidence. It tells you what the substance actually is. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Right? That's the substance. What it is? It's confident assurance. I shared that a few weeks ago in another series. Man, that's that substance. That's that thing. That's what faith is. It's this confident assurance and stuff that we can't see yet. Right? A time ago, I shared an example of a chair. When you walked in today, I hope you sat on those nice cushiony chairs. We left the hard ones in the back, but you sat down in a chair with just a little bit of cushion on there. But when you sat down, you did not examine your chair. Right? You just sat down. Right, because you had some confident assurance that chair was going to hold you up. right? You didn't examine it. You didn't flip it over. You didn't kind of read the instructions or do anything else. What do? You just kind of, oh, I'm just going to sit my happy hips down. And I'm going to sit in the chair, right? And you had confident assurance that, man, it's going to be, man, I'm going to sit. This chair is going to hold me up. The legs aren't going to kind of split flat. And my prayer is that it doesn't while we're sitting here. That, man, that you are able to hang on, that this chair is going to hold you up. And that's what faith is. It's confident assurance about what we do not see, what you do not yet know. We can't forecast the future, right? There's not a Doppler radar like all the weather that's been going on. There's not a Doppler radar for our lives where you can kind of see, okay, I know that next week I can see moving in from Louisiana coming into Jackson. Wow, there's going to be some money issues in my life. There's no Doppler radar for that in our lives. There's no, oh, man, it's going to be trouble in my marriage. I can see that moving in from Texas. No, you can't. There's no radar. It doesn't come. I wish, Lord, if I could just see, Lord, just give me like 3 days in advance where I can see what's coming. So I can just prepare my heart, right? Am I the only one? I can't be, right? I just, every once in a while, I just want to know, Lord, can I get like a heads up, you know? Send me a smoke signal or something. Send me a text, Lord. Just, Jesus, help me out. But what's what we want? There's nothing that shows us, man, what's coming. But we want it sometimes. We want to see it. There's no radar. What we discovered is that it's really everything that I'm doing today is going to affect my tomorrow. The things that I, man, what legacy is, man, it's the stuff that I'm doing right now. Every decision, every choice, every thought, everything that comes out of my mouth, the things that I say, that's going to affect what's going to happen down the road. So it's wise for us to be conscious of what we say. It's wise of us to be conscious, to be aware of the choices and decisions that we make, good and bad, right? That every move that we make, every step that we take, that we're saying, okay, I'm making this move or this step on purpose, right? If I make a decision, if it's about a job, if it's about my kids, if it's about my marriage, if it's about any decision, man, I'm going to make this move, man, I'm going to do it on purpose. I'm going to walk in purpose. I'm going to be strategic with the moves that I make. Why? It's not just for me. It's for those that might come after me that have the benefit of reaping what I sow, good and bad. The Lord, even in writing this series, kind of starting to had me start looking at my own stuff. It's one thing to be a preacher when you start, man, because you don't know why I'm up here preaching. The Lord saying to me, uh-huh, what'd I tell you that? Uh-huh, you preaching that to them? Yeah, just remind, he does that to me. Why? Because we're all accountable. It's not just me preaching it. It's also you hearing it that the Lord is saying, okay, you need to be accountable for the things that you do. And let's just be honest, in this culture that we're in, we don't want to be accountable. I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on toes, but that's just the truth. We want all the blame. We want all of the accountability, responsibility. We want to just, can somebody else just take that? Let me just be who I am and, you know, everybody else is okay, right? Everybody else can take responsibility. Everybody else can deal with all that stuff. But the Lord's saying, no, man, that falls on you. And so if we've been saying, we're saying all along that the legacy you leave is the life that you lead, ooh, that means I need to be examining my life. I need to pause for a moment. It should give me pause. It should make me for a moment just say, ooh, let me start looking in the mirror. That's what Michael Jackson said. I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No, man, sorry. What? You're looking in the mirror saying, man, let's take some pause. And so for me, if the legacy that I leave is the life that I lead, I need to be saying, what does my leadership look like? Right? If I'm saying, man, that I'm the one that's leading, man, if I'm the one that's making the decisions, if I'm the one that's leading, what does my leadership look like? What does it look like? What does your leadership look like? If my life, my choices, my decisions, my habits, my words, my attitudes, my actions, good or bad, are the things that I will pass down to generations after me, then I want to make sure that I'm passing down something worth passing down. I want to pass down something, man, where I'm looking back and I'm like, you know what? That was pretty good. That was awesome. Man, so I have to look and see, man, what am I really passing down? I really want to take stock of that. I really want to see what it is that, man, I'm leaving to my future generations. I want to know. My daughter is in school, my oldest daughter, my three-year-old. And so this is like her first kind of real school experience, right? Where she has like a teacher and to go to classrooms and all that good stuff. She had like preschool, but now this is like super preschool. I don't know. It's something different. My wife got her in it. Anyway, I was paying for it. Amen. But anyway, she's in preschool, right? And so now I know she's in real school because they started show and tell, right? Anybody remember show and tell, right? You have fun doing show and tell, right? And so her show and tell was the first week. This is her second time this week. But the first week she brought a microphone. And I was like, okay. And we kind of asked her, well, babe, why are you bringing a microphone? Oh, it's because I like to sing. I'm like, oh, okay. And so then this last week, she brought a baby doll, right? And we let her pick. We didn't try to influence what she picked. Like, hey, you pick out your show and tell. We want you to do it. She's like, oh, I'm getting my baby doll. I want this specific one. She's got like 90, but like, I want this specific doll. And we're like, okay, well, why did you pick that doll? I like babies. But then, man, as I started to think, I was like, you know what? Really, she's starting to emulate my wife, right? Why did she bring a microphone? Because my daughter, from a very young age, and some of you all know have been my wife in worship experiences, know this. Man, my daughter's, she's this morning was carrying my one daughter on her arms during rehearsal, right? Before we get in here, we practice so we don't sound terrible by the time we get up here for y'all. But man, she was practicing with her with my little baby right here. But even my oldest daughter went through the same thing. She literally sit at her feet watching her in everything that she did. So my daughter learned, she learned to love a microphone at a small age. We actually had to give her own microphone when she was younger. She would yell and scream because she's like, no, I want to sing too. Why don't you let me sing? Give me the microphone, right? So we gave her a microphone, but she brought that to show and tell. And then she brought a baby doll. Why? Because my wife just had a baby. She's watching what my wife's doing and she's starting to emulate what she's doing. Y'all starting to piece it together. I see. You understand? Right. And so legacy is instilled, it's impressed, and it's marked through leadership, through consistent leadership. My wife is a consistent worshiper. It's not just when she comes in here on a Sunday, but when she's at home. So my daughter's going to emulate that. My daughter knows no popular, barely, she might know one popular radio song. You know what she knows? She knows Christian songs. That's all she knows. You turn on any Christian radio station, she can probably sing, Light Shine Bright, da-da-da-da-da. That's all she knows. And she sings that all day long. Why? Because we're displaying that in front of her. I want to make sure that the influences, that the things that she takes in from us are stuff that's going to benefit and bless her life. So we're very specific about that choice. That is a leadership decision that we make in our family. That she would know the Lord before anything else, right? And that plays into everything that we do. Why? Because we're trying to instill and impress on her and mark on her God. That's why faith is the greatest thing that we can hand down. Why? Because it comes from God. We receive our faith from God, and our faith is found in Him and His faithfulness. We've been talking about that all morning. His faithfulness and His leadership in our lives is consistent. He doesn't fail. We drop off. We mess up. We kind of get in our own way of what He's trying to do, but He stays consistent. We were saying that morning, hey, man, He's a good, good Father. He's perfect in all His ways. Man, God is so consistent for us and with us. And what He's looking for from us is just a little bit of that consistency as well. What we need to be passing down to the generations that come after us is that same level of consistency. Now, obviously, we can't match God, but we can display it in our own lives. That's what He's looking for from us. He's consistent. And so what I see here when I look back at Psalms 20, I see kind of a roadmap of how God leaves a legacy for us. If you look back at it, and you might have never kind of seen it this way, but as I started to look this week, man, I started to see, man, Lord, wow. What you display for us, what you show, what you mark and instill and impress upon us, man, it's so profound. Look at Psalms 23. They're going to put it back up on the screens. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? They tend to their sheep. They rear them. They guide them. They protect them. That's a shepherd's job. I lack nothing. What does he do? He makes me lie down. That's a leadership tactic right there. What is he doing? He's showing, okay, do this. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. That's a consistent model. Your rod and your staff, what do? They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What you see here, go back to that last one before, Jordan, go back to one more before that. What you see here, right, every single one that you see, and go back one more before that, everyone that you see, he's consistently saying or doing something that benefits and blesses our lives. Consistently. His rod and staff, he's with you, he's comforting you, right? He's saying, hey, rest, right? I'm going to feed you, I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to protect you. Man, I'm going to be there. He's saying, I'm going to be consistent. That's the type of leader that God is. I'm going to be there for you in your life. I want you to understand and know everything that I have for you as a leader. And so I'm saying, ding, 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 we should be doing the same things in our lives, recognizing that somebody else is looking at us and saying, man, I need somebody in my life that is consistent. I know that my daughter's looking at me and she's expecting from me, because I'm a man of God, that I'm going to exemplify these same things in my life. That's what she wants from me. And you know what? I'm saying, you know what? I want that for myself, because I want her life to be blessed as a result. I'm blessed as a result of God's consistency in my life. And I'm saying, man, I want those that come after me, my friends, my neighbors, my family, and especially my little girls, man, I want them to know that and experience that and have faith in that, not just because they have a relationship with God, but also because they have a relationship with me. Changes the game when you start to say, oh, wait, I play a part in this as well. Not that I'm not taking the place of God. I could never, wouldn't even try. But you know what? I'm the God in their lives. I'm the example that they're going to see. It's going to be me first. And so I have to live it first. In all the years of seeing this passage of scripture, I never thought about it that way. I never kind of thought about it in terms of that. But what I really see here in this way, in God's faithfulness and his consistency, I see four things I just want to mark for you real quick. Four major displays of faithfulness. These are the things that I feel like, man, we pray for the most. Right? If you're taking notes, this is something to really take down. These are the four things that we pray for. When we're saying, God, man, I want God to be consistent in these areas, there's typically these four things that we're asking God for. Four things that we should be modeling for others, but it's the four things that God models for us in his faithfulness and his leadership in our lives. The first thing is this. He models security. He provides security for us. What is it? It's confidence in the state of being free from danger or threat, spiritual or natural, right? It's protection. If when we go to pray, it's one of the first things that a lot of us pray for. Lord, man, protect my family. Lord, I pray that you would protect my investments and my money. Lord, I pray that you would protect my home and my car and everything that's going on. We pray that a lot, right? And what does God do? He's saying, yes, I'm willing to do that for you. Yes, Psalms 23, yes, I'm saying that's what's here. That's what I'm doing. The second thing is this, what we pray for a lot is guidance. It's guidance. Lord, we ask the Lord for wisdom and advice aimed at avoiding difficulty or danger, directing us into the proper position. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to be wise in my decision-making process. Lord, help me to make sure that I'm going on the right path, that I'm going the right way, that I'm following you. It's the things that we pray for the most, and it's a way that God shows his faithfulness to us. The third thing is this, it's provision. Provision. Consistent supply of the things we need made available. Lord, please, saying it today, man, there might be some financial things that you're saying, Lord, please provide. There might be a job or a promotion that you're saying, no, Lord, I know you're going to open that door, right? It might be a relationship. Lord, send that husband in Jesus' name. Lord, some people are praying for that. Make it available, Jesus. I mean, okay, I'm waiting. All right. And the last thing is this. It's power. Power. Right? We pray for strength and influence through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that, man, Lord, endow me. Fill me with your spirit, with your presence. Let me know that you're here. Let me not feel alone or ashamed or lost. Man, I want to know you in a real way. These are the things that we pray for, right? These are the things we're saying, Lord, man, I really want you to be faithful in my life in these four things. And I believe that these are the four things that we should be looking to leave as a legacy with those that come after us. These same things. Not only are we looking for it from God, but we're saying, you know what, man, I want to leave these things as well. My desire is that those who reap from the legacy that I sow, from the seeds that I plant, I want them to have a life that would far surpass mine. I don't want my daughters to have the same struggles that I had in life. I want to learn from, Lord, what I've been through, and I want to show them and give them an example and show them a path that's better than maybe the path that I took. Some of the decisions that I made in college that, oh, God, I don't want you to make those decisions because I was being impulsive or stupid. Let's just be honest. That's a better word for it. I was being stupid, right? And, Lord, I don't want my daughters to make those same decisions. I want them to make decisions that will be beneficial and fruitful for their lives. And so when we pray for these things, right, and we're praying for, man, I want them to have a life that surpasses mine. What we're saying is that, Lord, I don't want to have to worry about my existence. I don't want to have to worry about what I'm going through. That's really what we're saying. The stuff we're praying for, Lord, man, can you just take this burden from me? Right? And I really believe that what we're asking, what we really are wanting to say is three major things. Three things, and I'm almost done, right? Three things, and I'm pretty much done at this point. Three things, right? The first thing, these are statements that we're saying, okay, my faith is the legacy that I want to leave, right? Okay, so what I want them to be able to say are these three things. The first thing is this. I want my children, my daughters, my friends, my neighbors, those who are attached to me, I want them to be able to say one thing. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Why? Because everything that I need is found in God. That's a faith statement. To say, I lack nothing. Jesus, have you seen my bank account, Pastor? Do you know what's going on? Do you understand who my boss is? Man, do you know what bills are coming up this month? Man, you know what? I lack nothing. I'm going to say that in faith, and I'm going to believe it. I lack nothing. I love the scripture, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He's saying, I'm ready to do it for you. I want you to get it into your mind to be able to say in faith, I lack nothing. Second thing is this, man, what am I saying in faith? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I want to be able to say that in faith, that despite what's going on in the world, despite floods and dangerous rallies and riots and whatever might be going on in the world, that you know what? As long as I'm with the Lord, that man, you know what? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's what I'm asking from God, and that's what I want to say in faith, and that's what I want those who come after me, I want them to see my life and say, wow. Man, surely I know from watching them that surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. The third thing is this. Let me show you a good scripture for that one first. James 1:17 says, man, what? Every good and perfect gift is from above. Man, so when I'm asking Lord for good things, he's saying it's God that's going to provide it. And I love the last line that says, he does not change like shifting shadows. God is not fidgety. God's not sitting on the throne with a fidget spinner. You know, Lord help me. I don't know why I just came to mind. Crazy stuff when I'm preaching. Lord help. Y'all pray for me. Your pastor needs help. Sweet Jesus. But what it is, man, sometimes people think God is schizophrenic. They think God is like, man, he's moving from here to there and he's not really focused. No, God is a focused God. He hasn't left you. He's saying, no, I want to give you good stuff. I want to do that for you. And the third thing is this. That, man, this is a statement that I'm making in faith. The statement that I want those who come after me to be able to say is that, man, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a faith statement. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. forever. You're saying not only now, but even in the future, I know that God is setting something up for me where I will eternally be with him. That's a faith statement. So at this point, my question to you is, what is it that you have to sow now into your own legacy so that those who come after you are going to be able to reap that faith? What is it in your life that you need to sow? What is it that needs to adjust, that needs to change? What is it that you need to begin speaking or saying or living in your life now that's going to affect you in the years to come? What is it? You don't have to tell me. I want you to pray about it and ask the Lord. And I'm saying, I really believe it's one of these three things, and this is why we read Deuteronomy 6:5, it says this, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I really believe that this is what we're supposed to be sowing. This is the legacy that we're really supposed to be leaving for those that are going to come after us. That, man, I'm going to love the Lord our God, man, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. That's the legacy that I'm trying to leave. Why? Because it's impossible for us to lead anybody else in a godly manner if we are not willing to follow. If we're not willing to give God our all, if we're not willing to say, God, man, I know you're trying to lay me down in green pastures, but I don't like you laying me down, right? I got this, God. If we're saying that, man, we're not allowing ourselves to be led. We're not putting ourselves in the position of a follower. I'm saying, man, let's be, if we're going to lead, to be effective leaders, we all know this. The best leaders are great followers. It's the best leader. I know that for me. The only reason why I'm a leader now is because, you know what, when other people say stuff, I can follow. I'm not so hard and so stubborn, and I don't get to the place where I'm the boss all the time, that I can't follow direction. My creative director, Roderick, there's times where he's like, Pastor Kevin, that's not good. We're not doing that. Okay. Why? Because I trust that he has a better vision than I do. Why? Because he does this on a daily basis. I don't. So in those moments where, even though I'm his leader as his pastor, there's moments where he leads our creative team and I have to follow his lead. Right? But it's not just in that moment. It's in every area of our lives that, man, I need to continually put myself in a position as a follower of God. So that the leadership that I want to display is, I know that it's coming from a place that's higher and above what I am. And I recognize that, man, God, if I'm following you, then it's easy for those who come after me to follow me. Right? If I'm following God, if he's the big leader and I'm following him, then those that come after me, when they see my life and they see how I follow God, it won't be hard for them to follow me because they recognize my leadership and they're saying, you know what? Man, he followed something that was bigger and better than who he was. And that changes the game. That changes our life. God's faithfulness, his consistent leadership, it's instilled and it's impressed upon our lives. That consistent leadership is something that we're supposed to display in our own lives, that we're supposed to send on to those that'll come after us. That's how we'll leave a legacy in them, a faith. That's what it is. That's what we're leaving for them. That's the impression. That's what I want my daughter to know. And she may, right now, she's seeing it through a microphone and a baby doll, but later she's going to express it through hands raised and heart open. To saying, Lord, man, I followed my dad, I followed my mom, I saw how they live lives towards you, and now because I followed them, Lord, it's so easy for me now to give my heart to you because I followed them as they followed you. Jesus said that himself, follow me as I follow the Father. He set it up for us so that we could follow that same example. That's why I have no problems following the Lord. That's why, man, I know people get kind of, man, I don't want to come to church. I don't want to be involved with that. It's still kind of sticky because of what the world's saying. And I'm like, you know what? Man, I follow God because he's consistent. The world isn't. I can follow him. And you know what? Because even Jesus followed the Lord. He followed his own Father with all the power that he had, with all everything that he could do. He could say boo and stuff could change. But yet and still, he followed God even when it was against his own human judgment. And you're saying, well, Jesus, he didn't want to do stuff. Do you think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? No. He said, Lord, but not my will, but your will be done. That means that saying, even in his human, Jesus saying, you know what, Lord, man, I'm still yet going to follow you because I recognize you as a consistent leader. I recognize the faith, things that you have instilled in me. And as a follower, man, I'm ready and willing to lead. God is willing to lead us. Are you ready to follow? Are you ready to follow? Bow your heads, let's pray. Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.